Good afternoon. It is Halloween, Monday, October 31st, 2016, 1:13 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You are tuned into the Now program, and just wanted to give you a little heads up that coming up tomorrow on the program at 1:15, we're going to be joined live via telephone from one of our old friends, Dick Cavett, legendary talk show host tomorrow, giving his thoughts on the election and I'm sure everything else going on in the world. Dick Cavett, Tuesday, tomorrow at 1:15 until 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then Wednesday from 1:15 until 2 p.m., we will have Tanner Hale, who is a candidate with the, or was a candidate for city council here in Marion, Republican candidate in 2015, and he now works for the State Party of Ohio. So he will be in Wednesday at 1:15, and we've got a lot of other surprises with our election coverage next week that we will reveal within the next few days. But today, for the next hour, live in studio, we are joined by Carol Looper, who you remember for so many years on WBNS and WSYX-TV in Columbus. Carol, how's it going? How's the first step? 1 hour done, one to go.
I'm here. I'm with you. And throw it at me.
All right. Let's divert to the state here for a second, because we are 8 days away from the election. Ted Strickland came through town last week, Governor Strickland. Got a chance to interview him. Double digits behind Rob Portman with 8 days to go. In July, they were tied. What's your read on that election?
Well, I'm very involved with the Columbus Metropolitan Club, and there is a forum provided, and I know that they've done three debates, the Strickland-Portman camp, both, and they did not, Ted Strickland agreed to speak, but Rob Portman didn't. So it became a one-on-one interview, which is always awkward. Interviewer did a good job, and the public gets to ask questions. I don't know that Ted Strickland understands what the issue is here. You know, we've read in the past month and a half, that money's being pulled out of his campaign. And whether it was because the numbers were so low in his favor, I can't really analyze it, except that Rob Portman is spending a lot more money in the state of Ohio and is the incumbent and is running negative ads. And if you're Ted Strickland and you don't have the money to run ads, it makes it
happen. A popular governor. He didn't lose re-election, but by a very narrow margin to Governor Kasich. He talked in the interview I had with him last week about money coming in from out of state. Did this just turn into a money race?
I don't know how you know, Scott. I don't know how. I don't know how you analyze that. In looking at another race that I'm becoming familiar with, because I'm moderating a debate with Franklin County prosecutor, and I don't know that people here in Marion are following that at all in Franklin County, but an analysis of where the money is coming from seems to indicate that, particularly to the Democrat, out-of-state money is coming in. Now, you may wonder, who out-of-state cares who is elected prosecutor in Franklin County? Obviously, it matters. Obviously, it matters much more on the state level. And there are a lot of emails back and forth coming from Governor Kasich asking for money and votes because, of course, the Republicans want to keep the Senate Republican. So that may be at the bottom. That may be the bottom line. And people who don't vote straight ticket may be very thoughtful about who they're going to choose for the Senate. In many cases, an incumbent has the best shot at it. Now, obviously, when Strickland was governor, that didn't hold true. But I can't answer that, except if you believe that the number of ads and the tenor of the ads matter, then obviously the Portman side is winning.
Portman pulled his support or endorsement, I guess it would be, from Donald Trump a couple weeks ago when the scandal, the excess Hollywood video scandal came out. Was that, did that have any effect that you saw on the election?
Not that I could, not that I have read or that I have clocked. There are issues that they both differ on, that the two candidates differ on. There are strong issues that they both differ on. So pulling his support from Donald Trump, you know, Donald Trump supporters aren't going to be happy about that. And those Republicans who were going to vote for him anyway are going to vote for him anyway. Who would it matter to, I guess, is the question.
Why do people make those endorsements? Do endorsements matter at all?
I wish I knew. I've never been involved in political campaigns. I have stayed away. I have totally neutral and all of that. I was involved 2 years ago in one political campaign, and it was for my daughter for judge. I did a commercial for her. I had never had signs in my yard before or since. I said there's only one person that I would ever campaign for, and that's my daughter. And she won her race. She had the endorsement of the Ohio, a high endorsement of the Bar Association. Her opponent was not, it's recommended, highly recommended, not recommended. Her opponent was not recommended. She was highly recommended. Did that have any effect? How do you know?
This year, newspapers, here in Ohio especially, and nationally, the Cincinnati Inquirer had not endorsed a Democrat in over 100 years.
They endorsed Hillary Clinton. Right. The Dispatch was 100 years.
Exactly 100 years. They didn't even endorse FDR during any of his campaigns. They endorsed Hillary Clinton. And the USA Today, in their entire 35-year history, had never endorsed a political candidate, period, endorsed Hillary Clinton. Why did that happen?
I think it happened because they are studying the facts, studying the candidates. I don't know that it mattered. It may have mattered in the past when people were buying and reading and subscribing to newspapers. I think perhaps it matters less. Now, I think if you track the endorsements of the Dispatch and the Cincinnati Inquirer and the Cleveland Plain Dealer in the past, you could probably figure out if those endorsements mattered just by looking. And it doesn't necessarily mean that if the candidate they endorsed won, that it was the endorsements that mattered. But I think that political endorsements matter less and less.
Let's ask the big question here. Columbus Dispatch, Cincinnati Inquirer, USA Today, George H.W. Bush, Colin Powell said last Friday he endorsed Hillary Clinton, called Donald Trump a charlatan. John McCain has pulled in his endorsement from Donald Trump. Mitt Romney says he will vote third ticket, independent, write somebody else in. No living president of the five has endorsed Donald Trump. Our own Republican governor, popular Republican governor, who won re-election last time by a wide margin, says he will not vote for Donald Trump after the excess Hollywood scandal.
But he isn't going to vote for Hillary Clinton either.
He isn't going to vote for Hillary Clinton. But yet, Donald Trump is ahead in Ohio, is possibly going to win this election. How does that happen?
It means one of several things. First, people have made up their minds, and they don't care about endorsements. Second, people don't read the paper, watch TV news, or have any idea who is endorsing whom. And if they don't know, then it isn't going to affect their vote.
But if you were, particularly, aside from the newspapers, because that can always be blamed on liberal media.
You think the Dispatch is now liberal media?
You know what? Somebody
after 100 years.
Well, when we announced that, somebody called in and said this was the first endorsement they've made under new ownership.
Well, and yet their editor claims that that had absolutely nothing to do with it. So they have an editorial board, and they vote on their endorsements. Again, they also endorsed my daughter for judge, but. It's a very simple, perhaps oversimplified process. So,
but a popular governor, who wins by close to 20% in the last gubernatorial race.
Well, again, was that because he won by 20% or because his opponent was eminently defeatable?
You have to make that decision.
Easily defeatable.
Yeah, easily defeatable. You have to make that decision, I guess. I don't know. Do you think Kasich's popular?
I think John Kasich's popularity with many people who never really would have given him the time of day may have grown because of his non-endorsement of Donald Trump. On the other hand, those who support Donald Trump have been livid that Kasich didn't go to the convention in his own state to at least welcome the delegates. And there are many who feel that perhaps he is positioning himself with the inner circle, with the establishment, for another run himself. And I think that that's something that we haven't mentioned. The term establishment has usually meant those people who have been around and made things happen in government. It seems that the Trump campaign considers establishment a dirty word and equates change with throw the bums out. So whereas in the past, the governor, the people who would have mattered in their endorsements, you can look at all those names you mentioned, and those are people who are quote-unquote establishment. Well, if you don't want the establishment's support and you continue to trash the establishment, then it doesn't really mean anything to the people who side with you.
On that note, Ben Carson made a speech yesterday, and he had sharp words for fellow Republicans such as Governor John Kasich and Senator Rob Portman, who are not endorsing Trump. This election isn't about Democrats or Republicans. It's about the political, well, he said politically elite establishment, and we the people. So is Kasich a member of the political elite? Absolutely. He did approve of FBI Director James Comey's decision to look into emails found during an investigation into Anthony Weiner, a former New York congressman and husband of Hillary Clinton aide Uma Abedin. Trump's campaign cheered the news, and the GOP nominee praised Comey's investigation. So, Ben Carson, who's a big surrogate for Donald Trump, thinks that Governor Kasich and Rob Portman are political elites.
What did Dr. Ben Carson say about Donald Trump when he was running against him?
Not kind things.
And so, and not kind things against John Kasich either. So, again, all of a sudden, we have people who wouldn't sit next to John Kasich or Chris Christie. Chris Christie said things about Donald Trump that were amazingly negative when he was running against him. But for whatever his motivation is now, and you can speculate that he wants a job in any potential Trump administration, the difficulty I have with believing any of the politicians and surrogates today, the difficulty is, how do I know that what they say today is what they really mean, and what they said 6 months ago is not what they meant? And how do I know that they'll say what they mean tomorrow may be different from what they mean today?
Did this election prove, because the widespread idea in this country has always been that the best person wins in presidential elections. We want the best person fit for the job. It's not about our party. It's about the best person. But in an election where a candidate says that somebody's father might have been involved in the JFK assassination and takes shots at his wife, and that candidate responds, Ted Cruz, if you weren't keeping up back then, responds and says, He's a liar. He's a cheat. Called him every nasty thing he possibly could.
But now he's endorsed
him. And he endorses him. So is it just about the party?
Depends who you are. Obviously, for John Kasich, it is not just about the party. For John McCain, it is not just about the party. And John McCain has a lot to lose.
But is it hard? Now, see, here's the deeper question. If you are John Kasich, you are Mitt Romney, you are John McCain. Because here's the difference between those three and George H.W. Bush. George H.W. Bush, basically, it was a non-denial of, I'm going to vote for Hillary. He said no comment. So it's that thing again of, well, you must be doing it. Okay, he's voting for the opposite because he doesn't want Donald Trump. Now, Kasich and Romney and I would imagine Portman, I don't know that he said it. I don't see him pulling the Hillary lever. Those three have said, we're not going to do, well, Kasich specifically and Romney. So let's just say them. We're not voting for Trump, but we're also not voting for Hillary. Does that stop Donald Trump if you don't vote for Hillary? Is Gary Johnson or writing somebody in going to elect Hillary Clinton and keep Donald Trump away?
No, I don't think that the people who say that they are just not going to vote for president, period. And people may or may not understand. You can't just write in Mickey Mouse or your brother-in-law. There's a list, and it's posted, and you can get it online, of people who registered to be write-in candidates. So if you want to just write in somebody, you may as well write in somebody who counts, because you won't count just anybody. You're asking if someone who doesn't vote for the president is going to assure Hillary Clinton?
I guess here's the direct question. Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump is going to be president?
Yes.
Okay. We know this. They know this. Colin Powell and George H.W. Bush, proud Republicans, have said we're voting for Hillary pretty much. Mitt Romney, John Kasich, proud Republicans, have said basically we're not voting for Trump. So you know that it's going to be Hillary or Trump. So Bush and Powell have obviously decided that Hillary is better fit for that job. What essentially are Kasich and Romney saying?
They're saying they don't believe in either candidate, and they may or may not, because it's private. You're in there by yourself, or you're writing in at your kitchen table and mailing it in by yourself. Truly, no matter what you say, or no matter what constituency you're appealing to, nobody really knows who you voted for.
That's true, but I this came to me a couple weeks ago. I think that when Teddy Roosevelt ran on the Bull Moose Party, that people really wanted Teddy Roosevelt to be president who voted for him again. When George Wallace ran, I think people really wanted George Wallace to be president. When Ross Perot ran, I think people really wanted Ross Perot to be president. I cannot find anybody who wants Gary Johnson to be president, but they're voting that way because it's the lesser of two evils. We don't like these two. That's
their percentages, the Green Party and the Libertarian Party percentages, I don't think. Now, Ralph Nader was a different story, and they say Ralph Nader may have cost Al Gore the election. Okay, that's a different story. Ralph Nader was well known, and he campaigned, and he had a base of support. I don't know that that Jill Stein or Gary Johnson has enough support to get people to the polls to make it. I mean, I could be very surprised. If a vote for them is a negative vote for Hillary or Trump, I don't think it accomplishes anything. I think, as people have been saying, and I'm no authority, but that would be a wasted vote. And I think that we have an obligation in this country. We have two choices. They may be not very good choices, but since one of them is going to win, one of them is going to get more votes than the other one. And as people I know have been saying, they hold their nose and vote for the candidate who they feel will do the least damage. I've had incredible comments from people, some saying, you know, I'm going to vote for the one who's less crazy. I'm going to vote for the one who doesn't change every other day. I'm going to vote for Donald Trump because we need change. I'm going to vote for Donald Trump because I've never liked Hillary. I'm going to vote for Hillary because I can't see where Donald Trump is going, but he doesn't like anybody for whom I am, any minority that I am part of. So people have their reasons, but I think every American owes it to his fellow Americans to vote.
As you say, if voting third party is wasted, because here's the thing, Mitt Romney has said specifically, I'll write in somebody, I'll vote. That's what he says. Even if we don't know what he'll do in the booth, that's what he says. John Kasich has essentially said the same thing by saying, I'm not voting for Trump, but I'm not voting for Hillary either.
So he's going to leave it blank.
So is that wasted?
Well, it's not wasted insofar as that he could have had his voice heard, but he won't. And all of the people who are not going to vote either for Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump are not going to have their voice heard. And on both sides, on either side, I hope that we get a president who is balanced by the others who are elected. In other words, I don't think that either candidate is going to be able to railroad Congress. What happened to Barack Obama in many cases was Congress, the Republicans dug in and said, I don't care if it's the best thing in the world. We're not going to vote for it. We are going to stop this man. Maybe, depending on the makeup of Congress, maybe that's what they'll say about Hillary Clinton as well if she is elected. And maybe, Republican or Democrat, that's what they're going to say about Donald Trump, because there are Republicans who say he is not a Republican, his agenda is not our agenda, and we could have gridlock for the next 4 years.
Donald Trump, Access Hollywood tape, he says locker room talk, 11 women, maybe more, depending on what day it is, have come out and said that he did these things to them. They have a lawyer, Gloria Allred, some of them. Is that a story or not a story?
Of course it's a story. But does it matter? To whom does it matter? Well, if you watch the Hillary Clinton ads, you'll see a father, a military man, and others who support her who say it matters. I don't want my daughters to hear that, is one of the commercials. Well, there are others who say, is that the deciding factor? He said some things that you don't want your daughters to hear or be treated. Shouldn't there have been things that came out earlier that made your decision? Sure, it's a factor. Sure, it's a factor. Of course it's a factor, although his wife totally downplays it.
And I would ask this if this was a Republican, but we have a woman for the first time by one of the two major parties who has a real chance to win the presidency of the United States. Nobody will say, I'm not voting. You will not find a person who says, because she's a woman, I'm not voting for her. But is that there?
Sure. Of course it's there. Just like the people who were at the Trump rally the other day screaming, USA, USA. Nobody at the Clinton rallies is hollering stuff like that, or lock her up, lock her up. But the question keeps being asked, has Donald Trump given Americans permission to be discourteous, to be offensive, to talk locker room talk? And there are those who worry when the talk is she's going to remove the Second Amendment. Well, of course, anybody who becomes president is going to remove any amendment. Doesn't happen that way, folks. Life doesn't happen that way. There are checks and balances still in this government. But I think that that there are many issues on both sides. Whether the fact, do you not think that people will vote against her because she's a woman? They may not say it,
Why won't they say it?
Because people want to believe that they are fair and impartial, and I won't even say politically correct, because Donald Trump has said, don't be politically correct. But people don't want to be perceived as sexist. No matter what they may be willing to be gun advocates, and they may be willing to not believe that we should allow foreign-born people into this country, no illegal immigrants. But I think, trumping all that, people do not want to be perceived as sexist because, after all, men have wives and daughters, and the minute you are perceived as sexist, you are pulling yourself away from your very own family. I mean, everybody has a mother. So I think that high on the list of what you don't want to be perceived as is sexist. And in answer to your question, I think that's why nobody is going to say, I won't vote for her because she's a woman.
I think 33,000 people a year killed by guns is the statistic. And we just had it last week, but I think it's 4 million people a year, something like that, has abortions. Very low percentage of the population. Why are those still two big issues with people? More people certainly living in poverty than either one of those percentages. It's asked in the debates. People will give it as the main reason they're voting for somebody. Why are those always the two?
Because those are two issues that are very close to people's hearts. And particularly people with certain religious feelings have very strong feelings about the sanctity of life and the right to life. People who are gun owners have great strong feelings. And it's interesting how you can play on those feelings by intimating even that somebody is going to take away your rights. Somebody is going to, if the Supreme Court, if Hillary Clinton appoints justices to the Supreme Court, then it's all going to be going the liberals' way, abortion, gun control. But I don't think people have studied the Supreme Court and the Supreme Court decisions, because many justices who were perceived as either liberal or conservative have voted totally differently than expected when the question actually comes before them. People are very willing to believe what they want to believe and not ever listen to the other side.
I do want to let people know we are getting feedback. It's interesting on Facebook and through emails here, and it's interesting feedback on the program. They enjoy what's being said and the conversations that are being had. And you can make those phone calls too if you'd like to. We have about 20 minutes of live radio left here, 740-383-9944. This is a live program. Remember, Dick Cavett tomorrow, 1:15 to 2 p.m., but Carol Looper right now for about 20 more minutes, 740-383-9944. One of the biggest questions in this election seems to be, even if you're a Trump supporter, you, I think, would agree that Trump makes more outlandish comments than Hillary Clinton does.
It's his brand.
It's his brand. That being said, if you are not a Donald Trump guy or woman, why is there still that thing? And the big examples we use are Kasich and Romney, but there are a slew of people behind them who, even when they can't turn to Donald Trump, look at Hillary Clinton and say, disqualifying, can't do it, she's a crook, whatever it is. Why is that?
Because people have been, it has been drilled into people by her opponents on every level that she has strong opinions and strong positions. And from the time she was First Lady, which a lot of people resent the fact that she, as First Lady, had political opinions, went out and campaigned for health care for all, universal coverage. I mean, she was shot down big time. People still resent her for that. The remark that was made that offended her so much was that first ladies should be baking cookies, and she said, "I don't stay home and bake cookies." People hold grudges, and people, although the public's memory is short in many cases, they seem to remember that they didn't like Hillary for whatever reason over the years. And of course, his peccadilloes, do we use that word anymore? His issues, affairs, call them what you will, showed negatively on her. There are some who say, stand by your man, and there are some who say she was an enabler and never should have allowed that to happen. So there are people who applaud her and people who resent her, but people remember. And even if the voters don't remember, her opposition campaign has brought up a lot of things that you might have forgotten. And her opponent, Bernie Sanders, who Donald Trump quotes a lot, brought up things about Hillary Clinton that you might not remember. But there are 30 years of grudges against her. So people tend to be blinded by the negative and not willing to accept the positive. Now, maybe you could argue you can't be blinded by Donald Trump's negatives because there are so many and they fly at you so fast. And to the people who support him, they just aren't important.
When I tune in to any newscast, whether it's commentary or news, they all say the two most disliked candidates in presidential history. They all say lesser of two evils. They even the news reporters use that rhetoric. Are these really two dislikable, unqualified people, and it's just plug your nose and vote?
Go stand out on the corner outside of where we are now and ask people.
How'd they get there?
Go stand out on the corner and ask people. There are people who say that there was not enough involvement. There was not enough, not vetting, but there was not enough participation in the Republican debates because people believed that Donald Trump would self-destruct. Coming into the campaign, he was a television personality and a, by his own reckoning, billionaire businessman. And nobody who could have changed the direction of candidates took him seriously enough to do that. And he was astute and clever and wise enough to get people behind him, to knock off all of his opponents, and maybe it's because there were 16 opponents and he stood out that he won the prize. And maybe it was because Hillary Clinton was an experienced campaigner, and that's how she rose head and shoulders above. They say that it's very hard to find honest, honorable people to run for office because they open your closet. And if you have any scandals or anything that doesn't bear watching, you will be found out, you will be exposed, and there you go. Well, I guess Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump are running, warts and all, because perhaps their warts were known and ignored. I don't think anybody thinks that they are the two very best people in the whole world. But she found the issues that were important to people who support her. He found the issues that were important to people who support him. They were able to use those issues. They were able to exploit, if you will, those issues. And they are very different.
If Hillary Clinton didn't run for office, does the email scandal ever become a story?
Well, it's a story because she's running for office. It's a story because of who she is. It's a story because of her position in the world. I don't think it becomes a story if she's, you know, Mrs. Bill Clinton.
I guess I'm saying, if she leaves the Secretary of State office in 2012 and she becomes Hillary Clinton private citizen,
nobody cares about her emails.
Okay.
Nobody cares about her emails. If something came out negatively about Laura Bush, how much traction would it get?
But Laura Bush wasn't Secretary of State.
So you're saying in the not the first lady context.
No, I'm saying if Hillary Clinton lives her life as she did after first lady, becomes a senator, becomes Secretary of State, runs for president, loses to Barack Obama in the primary, leaves the State Department in 2012,
goes into private life
for the rest of her life.
Goes into private life.
Are we talking about emails ever?
Why would anybody care?
Well, here's the problem, I guess, because in the end she could go to prison for this. So if she had stayed quiet and not ran for office, could she have avoided the possibility of going to jail?
Who knows? Who knows if it would have risen to the level of investigation if she were out of office and out of public life? I think the fact that she stayed in public life made her life and all of the issues in her life a matter for public consumption and public questions and public knowledge and public interest. You don't care about people who won't have any effect on your life, I don't think.
So if we come back to then the Hatch Act that we talked in Hour 1 about, have the emails simply been a political tool?
Of whom?
It's hard to say. The Republican nominee, Trump, is certainly using them, and a lot of people in the primary, the Republican primary, talked about it. Chris Christie certainly brought it up at the debate, or the convention in Cleveland.
And Bernie Sanders
and Bernie said he didn't
talked
care.
About him and said he didn't care. And they were not as big an issue. They were made a bigger issue by the release of them, by the discussion of them, by the FBI investigation of them. Why did the FBI investigate them? Because she was Secretary of State, because she held the public trust, and because she was running for the presidency of the United States.
So this could be Hatch Act territory.
Why are they investigating Anthony Weiner? He was a congressman. He unsuccessfully and dropped out of running for mayor of New York. He became a non-entity, but he was Huma Abedin's husband. Okay. He did what he did. And there's photographic evidence of what he did. Had he just been a mayoral candidate and a former congressman, would his emails have mattered if he wasn't married to who he was married to?
Well, here's a big question. Donald Trump over the weekend alluded to the idea that this is the biggest political scandal since Watergate.
Well, okay. Of course he's going to say
okay,
that.
But now saying that, I think we're going to get a phone call here, and we'll certainly take this phone call. Hey, you're on the air with Carol Looper. Go ahead.
Yes, I'm going to call in and make my comment.
I'm glad you did.
One thing that I really resent is anyone that tells me that how I should vote. You're not aware of it, but I know Sean is, that I decided to vote for Gary Johnson. I don't even know Gary Johnson. I don't even care about him. But I wanted to, in my own way, protest the fact that the two people that were selected are so inferior to anyone that should be running for anything.
Who did you protest to? Who knows that you protested?
Who cares? I know. I myself know. Now, as to Weiner, he's being investigated basically for these emails that were sent about this young girl that he was sexting. That's a reason to investigate someone.
Is there a reason to investigate Donald Trump because he's been accused of sexual assault?
If they want to. Go for it.
Okay. I guess, now here's a question I would like to ask. James Comey took the heat back in July that the fix was in. Clinton met with the Attorney General. on the plane. That's how Hillary got out of this. As of Friday, she's not out of it. But we don't know. We really don't know what's going on here. So was the fix never in?
I have no idea. And obviously, no one does.
Right, but that was the narrative.
Now, if he schedules another appointment with her to talk about their kids, yeah, the fix would be in that case.
Okay, and I thank you for you calling in.
Okay.
And anybody else, 740-383-9944 with 7 minutes left. The question I was getting at, Donald Trump's his biggest scandal since Watergate. Sometimes we forget who Hillary Clinton is. She was a First Lady of the United States, Senator, Secretary of State. If this goes on and she loses the election on November the 8th to Donald Trump, do you think there's any chance that President Obama would not pardon her? Do you think there's any chance that we would put a First Lady in jail?
No, I'm sorry. A First Lady and a Secretary of State and a senator. I don't think...
Because Donald Trump said he would put her in jail.
Justice is blind. Justice is blind, and it doesn't really matter who you are. There have been senators, there have been governors, there have been congresspeople who have gone to jail, and there have been generals who have gone to jail. I don't think that it would come to fruition, be it a grand jury, indictment, trial, during the pendency of the Obama administration. Remember, he's out in January. Legal issues don't move that far. And if whatever is going to happen to Hillary Clinton, if these emails have substance, if they're substantive, and if they lead to anything, I don't know, if there are 650 of them, it could be... well after both of us are off this earth, but I don't think that anything is going to be finalized during the Obama administration where Barack Obama would have the ability to pardon or excuse or whatever.
I ask that because I would say that 99% of people probably felt that Richard Nixon was guilty, and Ford pardoned him very quickly after no charges were ever brought. We knew what the charges were going to be, but they were never brought. So President Obama, certainly before charges are ever brought or the investigation is ever done because of who she is, yes, senators have gone to jail. Yes, a lot of Richard Nixon's cronies went to jail. Richard Nixon never went to jail, never stood trial, because I'm guessing he was president.
The Nixon cronies who went to jail were not elected officials, and I think that there becomes a higher standard.
But he was.
He didn't go. He didn't. He wasn't ever. Well, he left.
Right.
And once it happens all the time. Once you leave the office, I mean, whether you're a police officer or a judge, and we've seen negative publicity about many professions, but once you leave, you're no longer going to be prosecuted if what you did had to do with the office that you were in. Now, I would suppose that they could carry this on. What would be the benefit to carrying this on if Hillary Clinton loses and goes back to private life? To set an example for other elected officials?
But that's the question, because if you would not carry it on, if she loses, then was it just a case because she was running for president?
How do you prove that?
If the case goes away, I think that's proof in the pudding.
No, if the case goes away, it may be that there wasn't enough evidence to prosecute her.
But how do you know?
Well, that is going to be an eternal question, and we may never know. We may never know.
Gerald Ford, to his dying day, said there was never a deal, and it was just what he thought he needed to do to heal the country.
And he didn't. And he tried to heal the country, but there was still a rift over between those who thought he should not pardon Nixon and those who thought he should pardon Nixon. But I think this is very different questions. And I think that the evidence against Richard Nixon was in testimony before Congress. And look at all of the people affiliated with him. All of the people, Ehrlichman, Haldeman, Colson, Magruder, all were prosecuted.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State under this president, President Obama. This is what she's being charged with doing under his administration. One of the last things they do is pardon people. If the election ends, she doesn't win, and this continues on through January, that they continue to investigate her.
There's nothing to pardon. You can't pardon. I mean.
What was there to pardon with Richard Nixon when no charges were brought?
He was due to be indicted.
A lot of people think she's due to be indicted.
I can't imagine. Well, what happened with Richard Nixon happened over a long period of time. This has been a relatively short period of time, particularly since this investigation. The investigation that was allegedly going to lead to her indictment is closed. So is this a new investigation? And if it is, how many months do we have?
If it is closed, then what is this we're doing now?
That's a very good question.
And here are some quick rapid-fire questions in 3 minutes. Just as a person who's been around for a while and followed these campaigns, does Donald Trump win Ohio?
You think I'm going to call that when it's too close to call for the experts?
Do you think Ohio, Governor Kasich alluded that he would not, that Ohio doesn't vote for a guy like that?
Well, I think that it would be remarkable if he won the presidency without winning Ohio, since no Republican has. I think it's going to be very close, and it may even be thrown into an automatic recount. How's that for an answer?
In 8 days, who wins?
I think Hillary, unless something horrible comes. And remember, many people, millions, have voted already, so this is not going to affect them. These votes don't get counted until election day or election night. I think that unless there's another bombshell, Hillary Clinton wins.
Does Donald Trump concede that night no matter what the loss?
Absolutely not.
If he doesn't, what happens?
He may have legal recourse, or there may be automatic recounts. If it's as close, if it's percentage points, what do they call them? They call them plus or minus. Those are statistical potential chances that they're too close to call. If that comes true, then there will be a lot of recounts and recriminations. And I can't imagine in my wildest dreams, unless it is a landslide, and there have been landslides, surprising landslides, I cannot believe that he's going to just let this go.
In 9 days, if Hillary Clinton is president-elect, that means she's still in the spotlight. Does she ever get indicted?
I can't tell you until I know the content of these new emails. I don't know. I can't. You're innocent until proven guilty in this country. So I'm going to have to go with that she's innocent until somebody proves that she's guilty.
At the Catholic dinner, I believe it was 9 days ago, Donald Trump leaned over, and only the bishop heard this, and said, "You're one tough lady," to Hillary Clinton. And Hillary said, "When it's all over, we need to work together." Is this a show? Has this been largely a show?
No, I don't believe it's been largely a show. I think it's been too mean, too mean-spirited to be a show. I think that the things that they have said about each other, that he has said about her, are too painful to allow a quick healing. Now, over time, perhaps. Can't unring a bell.
If Donald Trump doesn't win this election, can the Republicans ever win a presidential election again?
Absolutely. Absolutely. They won't be Donald Trump Republicans.
Do they have to appeal to Latinos and women?
I think the Republican Party has tried. Remember, they used to have a tent that they wanted to bring everybody in?
Not this time, though. They didn't try. They were kind of back down from that.
He's not an establishment Republican.
Is this ring of the Trump Party gone if he loses?
No. Of the Trump Party?
The Trump Republicans.
No, I think that he will build strength because he has a following that is unshakable.
This is 30 seconds, two quick questions. Where does Trump go if he loses?
To court.
Where does Hillary go if she loses?
Home.
And that's that. Carol Looper, this has been fun for me. I hope it's been enjoyable for you to come in today.
Thanks for inviting me.
Stay tuned and remember, at Dick Cavett tomorrow, that's going to be a lot of fun. I'm sure he will have a lot to say if you've ever read his columns or books. So stay tuned to WWGH Radio for much more.
40383-1945, address 206 East Center Street.